St. Luke chapter number 10 this morning. St. Luke chapter number 10. Sure is good to be in the house of the Lord. Remember, immediately following the service today, we're going to meet with the youth, all those that will, that'd like to go to the trip, the youth that will go to the zoo, and all those are involved. And so please stay for immediately right after the service today. We'll go over that real quickly with you. It is good to be here this morning. Again, thank you to each one. Thank God for the house to come in and worship. And thank God for our Sunday school hour. And we had a good Easter. Amen. God blessed us during the Easter, and we thank the Lord for that. Luke chapter number 10, if you found your place and you're able, I would ask you to stand for the reading and reverence of the Word of God. Luke chapter number 10 this morning. The Bible says in verse number 1, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place, whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Gather neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall return to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. And heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. But into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Amen. You may be seated. As we've came into the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter number 10, we've been preaching on the subject entitled Farming for God. We have dealt with the preparation of the soil. We have dealt with the planting of the seeds or the sowing of the seeds. We have dealt with laboring one with another. And yet we have came to the point now that after some time, there is coming a harvest. And might I say to you this morning, as many of you have planted a garden and planted your vegetables already, and some of you are waiting to do that, as you plant those seeds and you preparate those seeds and you work that fruit throughout the summer, there is coming a day when you will reap the harvest. And might I say to you this morning, I truly believe in this context of speaking of the laboring and the harvest coming is of the coming of Christ. And I truly believe that because I'll tell you this, Jesus and God cannot let this world go on in the shape it's in. I believe that we are in the day, the last days, in the day of the coming of the Lord. Some of you say this morning, preacher, I've heard that my whole life, that Jesus could come just any moment. Well, thank God, we're just one day closer than we was yesterday. And preacher, I've heard that. Have you ever seen the world in the shape that it's in and the wickedness that it's in this day and age? Listen to me. I can't help but believe that Jesus is soon coming. As we look into this harvest this morning, we see that Jesus divided 70 and sent them two by two. Notice he did not send them with a large congregation. Notice he did not send them as one unit out to reach, but yet he divided them up and he sent them two by two to go out and to reap the harvest. Now, what was this harvest he was talking about? This harvest was telling them about Jesus. Tell them of a man who could heal the sick. Tell them of a man who could save them. Tell them of a man who brought life and life more abundantly. It was their duty to prepare and to preach the gospel. But I say to you, during that time, there were those that were waiting on the word of Jesus' coming. They were waiting to hear that Christ was coming to their town so they could gather the sick, they could gather those that needed a touch and bring them to the Lord. These two by two was to go and preach Jesus unto these people. I want you to notice in verse number 2, the Bible says the harvest truly is great. Might I say to you this morning, there is opportunity, listen, there is opportunity for Rhonda Baptist Tabernacle to grow. Did you know that? Did you know this morning there is opportunity for your life, for you to grow spiritually and physically growing in the Lord? There is opportunity this morning for you to do more today than you did yesterday for the Lord. I want you to notice this. He's speaking of a harvest, but in verse number 3, he begins to give direction. He told these men to go your ways. Notice what he said. He said, go into different areas. He said, I'll give you a different field for you to work in. Again, might I reiterate this morning, Rhonda Baptist Tabernacle has a field in the town of Rhonda. We not only have a town of Rhonda that is to work, but we can work the area of Clemen. Listen to me. Elkin is not necessarily our field. I thank God for those that come from a different area, but we ought to reach in our field and try to plant seeds and try to reap a harvest out of our field before we go down there. Can I say this to you this morning? These men had direction. Not only did they have direction, but he warned them of what was to come. He said, behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Amen. You say, preacher, what's that mean? He said, I'm sending you gentle out to where they're going to devour you. And can I say to you this morning, I'm not surprised the world's doing what the world's doing. I'm not caught off guard that the world doesn't want to hear about Jesus. I'm not spooked, I guess you could say this morning, that people don't want to have anything to do with the house of God. I'm not unsure this morning or worried. Listen to me. If you go out and you begin to proclaim Jesus, Brother Chuck, that people are going to mock you. And you say, why is that? Even during Jesus' day, he said, I send you forth as lambs amongst wolves. Can I say to you this morning, the lamb is a prey for the wolf, and the wolf is wanting to destroy the lamb and to get it and to feed and destroy and get as many as he can. And Jesus warned them. He says, I'm sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Can I say this to you this morning? We live in the same day that these men did. Notice what he then tells them. He says, carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. I imagine this morning if I ask you a question, some of you men folk, I would agree with me, but I'm not going to ask you to stick your hand up. But when it comes time to go on vacation, does your spouse spend a lot of time packing stuff? Amen. My wife will start a couple of days before, and she'll have 2 or 3 suitcases. We'll be packing stuff for Brooklyn. Listen to me. I'll say this to you this morning. That's our problems in the Baptist church. If God asks us to do something, we think we've got to get all this stuff together and get everything prepped and everything ready to go. And honey, I'm telling you this morning, listen to me. If God says go, he means go. And Jesus was teaching them. He says, don't worry about these things. He said, don't worry about getting them together. He said, just go where I'll send you to go. Notice what he says in verse number 5. He says this, and as whatsoever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. Can I say this to you this morning? And we're going to move through the scripture and go into the message, but have you ever been somewhere and you could tell you just wasn't welcome? You ever been around somebody and you could just tell they didn't enjoy you being there? Listen to me this morning. Jesus said to say peace be into this house. He said, but you'll know if Jesus is there or not. Can I say this to you this morning? The Spirit will bear witness with another believer. You'll have some common ground. Now, I'll say this to you. You may feel like, well, preacher, we don't have a whole lot to talk about, but you'll bear witness if Jesus is in the midst of the conversation. Notice what he says in verse number 7. He said, and in the same house, remain there eating and drinking. He says not to go from house to house. He says, but to stay where you're supposed to be. He said the labor is worth his hire. Notice what he said in verse number 8 and verse number 9. He said, and whatsoever city you enter, they receive you and set such things as are set before you eat. Now, I want you to notice in verse number 9, he says, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. You're supposed to go in and tell them about the coming day. You know that's our purpose as believers, is to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he knows in verse number 10 that we're going to go into some areas and we're not welcome. Now listen to me this morning. When somebody gets mad at me, and they don't want to be around me, and they don't want to talk to me, or they don't even want to come to church here, that's their issue. But if I go to somebody's house, Brother Junior, and they don't welcome me in, and they don't want to befriend me, and they don't want to hear what I have to say, I walk out, I don't carry that on my shoulder that they were mean to me. I don't carry that on my back that they were ugly to me. I don't carry that on my heart that they offended me. We're to walk out and brush it off and keep going. Amen. We're not to wear our feelings on our sleeves. We're not to hold those things and to I guess you could say there's coming a day that I'll get back at them. But we are to go on and go forward. I'll say this to you. I don't have an issue if somebody says something ugly to me, that 3 months later I'll still be good to them and be nice to them, because the scripture teaches us you walk out that city and you dust the dust thereof and you say, you know what? The kingdom of God is coming nigh to thee, and you walk on, because at the end of the way, all that matters is between you and God, whether you did right or you did wrong. I can't control what the other field done, but I can control what my field does. Amen. It is our duty to wipe the dust off and not to sit down on a pew and have a pity party and say, well, they did this and they did that and they upset me and they hurt me. Honey, I'm telling you this morning, pack your stuff up and go on for the glory of God. Amen. Notice what he says. He says in verse number 12, he says this, but I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. You know what he says? He said it's going to be more tolerable on the day of judgment for those Sodomites than it is for that city that absolutely refuses Jesus. It'll be more tolerable for the city of Sodom. Why? Because there were some in the Sodom that believed. Can I say this to you this morning? We're living in a wicked day where people won't believe. We're living in a wicked day where man thinks, I'll live for me and I'll do for me and I'll do what I want to do and I don't care what anybody else is doing. I'm all about me. Can I say this to you this morning, honey? There are people dying and going to hell and they need to be laborers on the field and to go out and bring the bread of life and to go out and bring the water of life, honey, that they can live and know about a Savior that loves them and know about a man that died on Calvary and rose the third day, that they can be born again and have life everlasting. I want you to notice in verse number 2, this will be the context of our scripture this morning. I want you to notice what he says. He says, the harvest truly is great. If the harvest is great, somebody had to sow some seeds. If the harvest is great, somebody had to work in the field. How many of you agree with me this morning? If all you do is go out and plow the ground and throw seed and you never go back, but you wait about 4 months and you go back to get your tomatoes and cucumbers, how many of you would agree with me this morning that the harvest would be slack? Amen. There has to be some work that's put in. There has to be some effort that is put in. I want you to notice this morning that the harvest was great. But notice this morning, the laborers are few. Boy, I'll say this to you this morning. There is a lot of work that needs to be done, but the laborers are few. Can I say this to you this morning? And I'll say this, and I'm saying this out of love and kindness. I want you to understand what I mean. The harvest is great, but it requires faithfulness. The harvest is great, but it requires dedication. The harvest is great, but it requires you going above and beyond. Can I say this to you this morning? It breaks my heart when we come to the house of God and we have a congregation the size of this on a Sunday morning, but on Sunday night, the congregation gets even slimmer, and by Wednesday night, it's even smaller. It breaks my heart because there's a great harvest that's before us, but yet we lack the faithfulness. We lack the dedication. dedication. We lack the heartfelt condition of serving God. And we've got all this other stuff that comes before us. We got all these other things that we've got to take care of before we can serve God. Might I say to you this morning, God wants men and women to be faithful in the house of God. God wants men and women to be dedicated in the house of God. And God wants people to labor for the harvest. Can I say this to you this morning? Notice the harvest is great. The labors are few. He said, pray you therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Can I say this to you this morning? Notice whose harvest it is. Brother Junior, it ain't Brother Josh's harvest. Did you know that? Did you know it's not Rhonda Baptist Tabernacle's harvest? Did you know tonight that it's not the Baptist Church harvest? Did you notice tonight it wasn't the United Methodist harvest? Did you notice that it, Brother Odin, that it wasn't the Southern Baptist harvest? But it said it was the Lord of the harvest. Can I say this to you this morning? We are not masters, but yet we are servants to Jesus. And can I say this to you this morning? It is his harvest who we're working for. It is he who will be judged by. It is he who will give an account to. But I want you to notice this morning about this harvest. How many of you, when you go to your garden, you harvest weeds? Amen? Rusty, I imagine if you and Miss Heather was growing a garden, and she's laughing, I know, but that's the reason I picked Rusty. But if you grew a garden and you had tomato plants and you had cucumbers, but you went down there and you got the thistles out and the poison oak and all the other weeds, the morning glories, and you brought them in a sack and said, I went and harvested the garden, she'd look at you like you was crazy, wouldn't she? But now, if Brother Junior and Miss Betty's got a garden and you work all summer and you keep the weeds put out of that and those tomatoes start bearing and those green beans start bearing and you go down there and you collect all that harvest and you bring it into Miss Betty, I believe she'd be tickled to death. I believe it'd be better to eat green beans than a stalk of poison oak, don't you? I believe it'd be better to eat beans than to eat the thistle bush in the garden. Can I say to you this morning, it is also not our place to divide the harvest. Can I say this to you this morning? We are to go out and to bring souls into Jesus and let Jesus sort those things out. He is the Lord of the harvest. And let me say this to you this morning. The Bible teaches us that we are laborers together. Can I say this to you this morning? It takes every single one of us to reap the harvest. I'm going to give you some things and I'm going to be done this morning. I want you to notice something about the harvest. Can I say to you out of the book of Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 7, the Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Have you ever met somebody that it never seems like they get anywhere? Amen? Now, I'm going to use this for instance, but can I say this to you this morning? There's a lot of folks that are sowing to the flesh. And I'm going to use this as an analogy. Thomas, they're buying a lottery ticket thinking they're going to hit it big. They're thinking, Brother Robert, that scratch off is going to lead them to 10,000, 5,000. 20, 50, 100,000, whatever. And boy, they're just waiting on that day, the Powerball, that they're going to hit their lucky numbers and they're going to win. And the majority of time, they've spent more than they've ever won. But can I say this to you this morning? The more I do for the Lord, the more I see His blessings on my life. And the more I give to Jesus, the more I see His favor on my life. Now, I'm not talking about just financially. I'm talking about your physical health. I'm talking about your physical being. And I'm talking about your sacrifices you give to the Lord. He will bless you accordingly. Can I say this to you this morning? The government ain't going to make you rich. The lottery ain't going to make you rich. And I imagine this morning, the more you sow to the sin and the flesh of this life, the harder your life is getting, the tougher it's getting, and you're just hoping that one of these days your checkbook's going to get bigger. But in reality, you have missed the blessings that God has given you because you're sowing to the flesh. You're sowing to your desires. You're sowing to your wants. In reality, you should be sowing to spiritual things. You should be sowing in prayer. You should be sowing in tears. You should be sowing in reading of the Word of God. You should be sowing in witnessing. You should be sowing in spreading the gospel. You should be sowing in mission work. You should be sowing on the promotion of Jesus Christ. But you're sowing to the flesh and you're reaping the wickedness of this world when you can be reaping the godliness of heaven.
Amen.
Notice about this harvest. Bible says that God said in Galatians that God is not mocked. That you sow in the flesh, you'll reap of the flesh. Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, for he that soweth to his flesh shall also out of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Can I say this to you this morning and we're moving on? The harvest in Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 9 says this, and let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Can I say this to you this morning and moving forward? I thank God that even when we're weary, we keep going on for the glory of God. How do you know that, preacher? How do you know that you're going to reap that? Can I say this to you this morning? As a young 23-year-old man taking pastorship of a church of 10 people, Brother Johnny, I had no idea I'd see a congregation of this size Sunday and Sunday, preacher, week after week. I would have never thought with 10 people in Rhonda Baptist Tabernacle that God would bless us like He has here.
Right.
There has been times where I wanted to give up. There has been times when I wanted to throw in the towel. There has been times that I wanted to walk away from it. But when I come in 9 years later and I see the pews filled up, I see sections of the church where nobody ever see it, shoulder to shoulder, and pews filled all over the house of God, it is a blessing of God to stay faithful in the house of God, to stay faithful doing the will of God, because you can't reap if you give up. Can I say this in moving forward? Some of you, if you were real honest, would say, preacher, I really didn't feel like coming to church today. Preacher, I had other plans that I wanted to do. Preacher, I'm so tired, I don't feel like it. Can I share my blessing with you?
Go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
Can I really share it with you?
Go ahead.
I decided a few weeks ago that with everything that's going on, it doesn't seem like I've got a... How many of you ever heard the phrase, caught a break? Or it's going to get better. Anybody ever used those phrases? Brother Bill, I was fishing yesterday with a deacon in Silva, North Carolina, which is a little over 3.5 hours from here. I left Friday evening, got going at 4 o'clock, got there at 7:30. Went to bed at 10:30 and we got up and went fishing. And the whole time, my phone had buzzed. People were sick or I'd forgot Miss Sandra Jolly was having surgery and I'd went away. And Miss Sheldon texted me, let me know she was doing good. And so it's been a constant. Listen to me. You don't know what a preacher goes through until you go with him a while. And I've spent more time in the past 6 months in hospitals that I've never even been to hospitals, that I didn't even know had hospitals. Visiting people and seeing people and doing funerals and different things. It's just been constant for a while. And so I decided I wanted to get away. And so we're fishing. And of course, the game warden comes. Who don't love the game warden? Everywhere I go, either the police show up or the game wardens, one or the other. And the game warden shows up. And I almost felt like I was fishing with Matthew Suits. The game warden walks up and we've got a couple of fish in our packs, Brother Lewis. And he looks at us. And he said, you boys had any luck? I said, nope. He wanted to see our license. Timmy, he didn't ask how many fish we had. He said, you boys had any luck? The feller I was fishing with, he's all fiery anyways. He done got upset and he done looked at me and his eyes got big. He didn't say a word. He said, let's go on down to the other creek. Let's get out of the river and let's go down here. I said, sounds good to me. And we got in the truck, and normally he's got something he needs to say, Brother Gwynn. You know this young man very well. And we get riding down the road, and he ain't said nothing, but he keeps rubbing his mouth and patting the stern wheel. And we get to the other fishing hole that we're going to fish, and he looks at me, and he said, I have never been around a lying preacher till I'm with you. I said, what are you talking about? He said, you lied to that game warden. I said, what do you mean? He said, he didn't even ask how many fish we had. He said, we could have had 25 fish on us, and we're only supposed to have 7 apiece. And he said, he asked us if you had any luck, and you looked dead eyeball to eyeball to him, and you said no. And he says, you're lying. I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. I said, number one, I don't believe in luck, so I don't have any to start with. If he'd asked me, have you been blessed today, I'd have pulled out my stranger and let him see that I was blessed. I said, I'm going to say this. When you tell somebody, boy, you got lucky there, honey, I don't believe in luck. When something goes good and something changes, honey, I'm blessed beyond measure. And I'll say this to you this morning. Preacher, I wasn't lying to him because I don't believe in luck, but I was blessed to have fish. Yeah. But I'll share my blessing with you. When I came out, it seems like Wednesday night, Daddy had got real bad, and I'd called James to take care of service, and we had went, took Daddy, I'd got him in the car, and we took him down to Iredale and finally got him comfortable and so he could meet with a surgeon. And boy, I thought, Matthew, I thought everything was going to get better. And so I get to his house. I know why they call him the Great Smoky Mountains now, because if you go when it's raining, you don't see nothing. Except fog. And so we're driving through traffic, and there was a wreck on 40 on 26 at Asheville. We had to detour around that. And I get there, and I'm excited. Boy, everything's quiet. Everybody's having a good time. And I go to get my stuff and bring it in, and it's a drizzle rain. Do you know what happens to wooden steps that never see daylight and it rains? Your 260-pound pastor seen his legs go straight out, and I landed flat on my back on the steps going down through there. You say, what is it? I told Anna about it. She goes, oh, okay. So last night, after Joe's birthday party, we get home. I said, my back is killing me. I said, is there any marks? And all I had to do was pull my shirt up, and I heard, oh, my goodness. She said, you got a knot this big and it's black. And she kept saying, let me put Icy Hot on it. I don't want Icy Hot on it. I get up this morning, I'm moaning and groaning, wiggling in the shower across my lower back because it's black and it's hurting. And that's why I keep moving and wiggling. But you know what? That was bad. I could have stayed home and said, oh, my back. Oh, it's tender. Then I would miss the blessing of having a first-time visitor at Rhonda Baptist Tabernacle. No, what I'm saying is, you sometimes can miss blessings because of your problems. I could have stayed home easily this morning. I could have found reasons to stay in, but I would have missed the touch of God on a service. I would have missed seeing you here this morning. I would have missed getting a touch of heaven. I would have missed learning more about Jesus. I would have missed the fellowship of one with another. I would have missed the love and the brotherly love and the prayers around the altar this morning. I would have missed the blessings God would have given because I sowed to the flesh. I want you to notice what Jesus tells them. He talks of the harvest of sin that is according to the seed of sown. I want you to also this morning notice what else he talks about workers. We are to work to bring the helpless to Christ. Mark chapter 2 and verse number 3, the Bible says this, and they come unto him bringing one sick of palsy, which was born of four. He also teaches us in John chapter number 1 that we are to witness to our friends. He says, Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Can I say this to you this morning? If you will be a laborer, you will inspire others to help. Preacher, how do you know that? If you're at work, Robert, since you're our first time visitor this morning, I'm teasing you. Have you ever been around somebody that's just negative about everything? I mean, they just gripe about this. Yeah. They gripe about that. Odin, have you got those employees that just they're mad about everything? Not happy with anything. They don't pay me enough. I don't know why so-and-so should be doing this. I don't know why he chose me to do this. He's picking on me. Now, Rusty can literally say we pick on him. Robert, you can say we pick on you. You ever just been around somebody? Well, this is dumb. I shouldn't be. Why are we doing it this way? Matthew, do you have anybody on your long crew that does that? Well, I would have done it this way if I was going to do it, or I would have done it that way. They just complain about everything. Do you notice what happens when they start complaining? Somebody that ain't said a word all day then starts complaining. Somebody who's usually happy and cheaper all of a sudden begins to think they're not getting paid enough. Then somebody thinks that shouldn't be doing the job they're doing. And then somebody else thinks that they should be doing this instead of that. And before you know it, everybody is miserable in that area. And you have a bunch of complainers. Am I all right? Amen. You worked in a mill. Am I all right? Does that happen? But if you have that one person who's just happy doing whatever they do, it seems to bring a mood up. It seems to encourage others. You know what happens in the house of God when people start getting excited about their house of God? It inspires others to come to the house of God. I've sat at the restaurant on Sunday afternoon, and I've heard people talk about their preachers. Now, I know we're all Baptists. We don't do that. I mean, we don't discuss at the dinner table how bad Brother Josh was, or how bad Brother Joe was, how bad Brother Junior was, or why are they doing it that way, or why I would have done it this way. I think it would have been like that. I think, you know what we need? We need to be people sitting in the house of God that says whatever the Lord wants me to do, whether it's sweep the floor of the house of God, whether it's run the copier, whether it's be a greeter, whether it's take flyers out in the community, I'll do whatever they want me to do, and I'll smile because God's honor it. I'll smile and enjoy it because God's blessings are upon me. Though my job may not be much, I'll be happy in what I do. Can I say to you this morning, there's times in my ministry where I wanted to strangle somebody. There's times, listen to me, I have been around that crowd that all they enjoy doing is talking about somebody else. They get together and they have their huddle and it's gripe about so-and-so ain't doing this, so-and-so ain't doing that. But you know what's amazing? Is when you get away from that huddle and you look at what they're doing, they ain't doing nothing but complaining. They ain't doing nothing but griping. And if you hang around with them bad enough, you jump on board with them. You start griping about everything too. So what are you saying, preacher? I think we're just doing what God would have us do and enjoy it.
Amen.
Put a smile on our face. We come into the house of God on Sunday morning, we ought to smile real big. You know why? We get to go to God's house and worship Him. There's enough negativity in the world. There's enough heartache everywhere else. There's enough troubles and trials when you turn on the news. Some of you this morning, you've got sickness in your home. You ought to be thankful that you get to come to the house of God to another day. You ought to be thankful that you get to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You ought to be thankful that in this storm, there's a blessing higher than you could ever see. In this storm that the winds are raging and the rain is pouring, the sun is still shining on the other side. I promise you, it will pass, but keep a smile on your face. Can I say this to you this morning? I've heard people say, the devil robbed me of my joy. Any of you have ever been in here, been robbed of your joy? I mean, you would be honest. You would say, you know what? There's times I've been sour. You know what you need to do? You need to do like Jesus did. Preacher, you don't know what they done to me. You need to knock some dust off your shoes and put a smile on your face. Because God's still good.
Amen.
God's still good. I believe this morning it would do us good to realize who we are serving. You see, we've talked all about us and getting people involved in our work. But our work is to bring Him glory. It's to bring Him honor. Can I say this to you? When one soul gets saved, it brings glory to Jesus. Just one soul being saved. Can I say this to you this morning? I'm done with this. In James chapter 5 and verse number 20, the Bible says, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide the multitude of sins. And I'm done. Luke chapter 10 and verse number 2. The Bible says this, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. I'm going to share this with you this morning and I'm done. Some of you I know by name. Some of you I know very well. Some of you I don't know that well. I know your name. I know who you are. But a lot of you, I know exactly where you sit. The only ones that has really messed with me had been Lewis and Michelle, because I always looked over there and I seen them, and now they're over here. That's the only ones. But the majority of you sit exactly in the same place week after week after week. I mean, you sit in a place. We know where you're at. Thomas, that's always been your area right there ever since you was this tall. That's always been Robert's place. That's always been Odie. Brother Junior, as long back as my first time at Ron Bass Tabernacle, you were sitting right there.
Amen.
Poor old Johnny. Well, let me say this. I did change the front. We took a pew out, so they're back one pew. But Johnny, I remember when a pew was here, and you can see where the years you sit and your feet was at right there. I know exactly where you sit. I know exactly your face. You say, preacher, how do you know that? Because there comes a time when my wife's trying to fill out some paperwork. And what we do, we don't go through and count off people. But even when we're not at church, we know the pews and the locations and where you sit. And we put names in your spots so we make sure we cover everybody. I know y'all think I'm crazy. Maria nodded. She knows. We know your position in the house of God. And when you're not sitting where you're at, that's a spot that should be filled. I mean, we've got these other pews. I don't know. Has anybody sat on all these pews more than one time? A couple of funerals. You know, somebody said, preacher, eventually we're going to have to get new pews. Oh, no, 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 no. We just need to change them out. There's some that's never been sit on that we could put where yours is at. I think it was Rusty was telling me, he said, preacher, if you ever move my pew, he said, it's got a split or somebody right there in that general area that has some foam coming out. And he says, that's where I know where I sit. Or it may have been mom, dad, I can't remember, but it's a pew right there. In my heart, I pray for you by your pew. But you know what excites me? Is seeing your pew fill up. And then the pew in front of you fill up. And the pew in front of them fill up. And the pew over here fill up. I'm blessed. You know why I'm blessed? That back corner right over there is almost shoulder to shoulder, week in, week out. This area has become almost shoulder to shoulder. And now we're working on this side. I figured we would fill you up from the back to the front. So that means when new people comes in, Ray, we're going to have to move you up a pew. Okay? We're going to just keep moving everybody up. That way the newest coming about. You say, well, what are you doing, preacher? Me and my wife pray for people. And when I don't see you on a Sunday, or I don't see you on a Wednesday, I miss you being in your place. I worry about where you're at. I worry about what trials you are facing. I worry about those things. But what some of you don't know is years upon years ago, we would meet and go by pew, by pew, by pew, praying that God would put people on these pews. And it is still my heart to pray over the pew. You say, preacher, you prayed over these pews? What kind of preacher would pray over a pew? I believe we're reaping what we prayed about and sowed about because there was nobody on that pew. And we would pray that God would put somebody on those pews. And God is answering those prayers week after week. Do you really believe sowing in prayer is worth it, preacher? With my entire being. But what I'm asking you this morning, the harvest is great. We need more laborers. Would you just join up this morning and say, you know what? I'm going to be faithful to the house of God. I'm going to be faithful in prayer. I'm going to be faithful in services. Listen, I know I've not been where I need to be, and I may have been out a while, but I want to be faithful. I want to be a prayer warrior. Hey, I want to go out and reap in the harvest, not for the glory of Rhonda Baptist Tabernacle, but for the glory in Jesus' holy name. I want to look God to look down and say, thou good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee a ruler over many. That I want Jesus to be pleased with me in the work. I want him to be pleased in my life. I want his honor and his blessings on my life. Would you be a worker this morning? His heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm going to ask Brother Dan if he will come this morning.